I found a poem this week by A.R. Ammons, who lived from 1926 to 2001, and the poem is named Eyesight. It's like this. It was May before my attention came to spring, and my word, I said, to the southern slopes, I've missed it. It came and went before I got right to see. Don't worry, said the mountains, try the later northern slopes, or if you can, climb into spring. But, said the mountain, it's not that way with all things. Some that go are gone. The poet has woke up in springtime and late spring and said, oh my gosh, I missed the spring flowers. And it's all gone already. And the mountain speaks to him and says, no, don't worry, you can always climb higher on the mountain where the flowers are blooming up higher. But it's not that way with all things. So be careful. Don't miss it. A couple of weeks ago, I was hiking with my cousin Carol up the Dungeness River. And we couldn't make any progress at all because she kept stopping and looking at the flowers. You know, this one looks like dogwood. Is that what that is? I don't know. She asked me, what's the name of this one? I don't know. I never saw them before. I've been up that trail a dozen times. What do we see? And what do we miss? And what do we block out? Jesus goes up on the mountain with Peter and James and John to pray. And while they're up there, Jesus is transfigured in light. His face shines with a brightness that they can hardly stand. And his clothes become dazzling white. And they see the ancient figures from the Old Testament, Moses and Elijah, are standing there talking with Jesus. It's a holy moment. They are surrounded with the glory of God. They're in the presence of the Holy God. It's holy ground. And what does Peter do? Good old Peter. He says, Master, it's good to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. Peter breaks the moment. He just can't stand to be there in the presence of God. He's got to do something. He says, well, let's build something. Let's get the hammers and saws. Let's pile up some rocks. Let's get going. Let's make some kind of a monument here. We'll call it the Mountain of the Transfiguration. We'll put a bronze plaque up here so everybody will know this is where it happened. Good old Peter, he just can't stand being there in the holy presence. You missed it, Peter. It came and went, and you missed it. You know, it's very hard for human beings to stay in the presence of God. God is holy. God is mysterious. And it's very hard to stand there next to the flame. So we come up with ways to keep our distance from God. We find ways that we can manage God or keep God in control or avoid God or find some kind of substitute for God. When I was in college, I took a philosophy class. And in this class, we were assigned an essay by Bertrand Russell called Why I Am Not a Christian. A very, very good essay. He lays out all the reasons for not believing in the Christian faith, and it's very persuasive. And so my friends and I were debating this, you know, whether his essay was right or wrong. But what we forgot was that while we were putting God in a box, the mystery of God doesn't fit in the box. Sometimes we find a substitute for God. A friend of mine said that her daughter brought her family to church all the time, every Sunday, until there was a big blow-up at that church. And people got mad, faces were red, words were said, backs were turned, and they decided they just weren't going to go anymore. So instead, they signed the kids up for soccer. And what they found was that everything they had there in church, they also had in soccer. They had an organization with a structure. They had a goal. They had excitement and a community of people. And it happened on Sunday morning. I mean, sometimes it's just easier for us to just avoid God. Just avoid this whole God business. Master, it is good to be here. Let us build three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. I can just see all the fundraising plans in Peter's head. We're going to get a consultant, and we're going to have a capital campaign, and we're going to get an architect and plan these three dwellings. You know, he's got it all lined up. He can handle this because it's concrete. It's something a guy can do, right? It's physical, but is God going to be present? That's the question. You know, one of the best ways to avoid God is to join a church. There was a man who joined a church, and he got recruited for all these ministries, and he got really busy, and he was doing all kinds of really good things in the church, and after about a year, he quit. And one of the church members saw him, and they said, "Well, what happened? Why did you quit?" He says, "Well, I was so busy doing good things for God, I never had any time for God." Once I was in a prayer group in a church. It was an intercessory prayer group where we prayed for healing for people or prayed for whatever needs people had. We would meet early in the morning and we would discuss what the needs were, and then we would spend time in prayer. After a while, the group disbanded, and months later I got to thinking about that group, and I thought, you know, we spent so much time telling God what to do, we never spent any time listening to God. You know, we try to manage God sometimes to make God the way we want God to be. It's so hard for us humans to be in the presence of God. You know, when Moses came down the mountain after talking with God, his face was shining so brightly that the people couldn't stand it. They said, "Put a veil on. We can't stand the brightness. You go up there and talk to God. We don't want to talk to God. You go up and talk to God and come back and tell us what he said. It's too much for us." Now, sometimes it's easier just to let the clergy do all the God stuff. "Pastor, will you say a prayer to start the meeting, please?" You know, we can all pray. The God of Israel, the God of Jesus, is holy. The God that we find in the Bible is full of mystery. When we domesticate God and when we try to tame God or control God or manage God or put God in a box, what we do is we reduce God to something much smaller than God really is. We miss God. This week I was watching a video by a woman named Mary Parman who works for evangelism in the Diocese of Texas. And she told her story about coming to the Episcopal Church. She said that she was raised as a little girl in a Baptist home, very good Baptist family, but she said they had a drug problem. "We were drugged to church on Sunday morning. We were drugged to church on Sunday evening. We were drugged to church all week long." She grew up, went to college, got married, had kids, got a divorce, but she was still going to the Baptist church. And she had lunch one day with a friend of hers who said, "Mary, would you come with me to church this Sunday at my church, Episcopal Church?" She said, "Sure." So she went to that Episcopal church, and she said, when they came to the Eucharist, it was the first time she had ever felt the holiness of God in church. You know, the central mystery of the Christian faith is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when we enter the Eucharist, we are approaching that mystery of God. We're climbing the mountain with Jesus. I can't explain it. I don't fully understand it. But I want to experience it. I don't want to miss it. Amen. Let us stand and recite the words of our faith. Under Pontius Pilate, he suffered death and was buried.